WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy St. Patrick's Day. Yes, oh my goodness, I'm looking down right now. I don't have on any green right now. Don't pinch me, okay? I'm going to throw on my green hoodie later on, all right? But man, oh man, celebrate safely out there, folks. We are glad, though, that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your St. Patrick's Day afternoon. We've got a great show in store for you. I'm excited about it because we will invite Drew Sharp. You all out there know that name, right? Drew Sharp is the sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. He always has interesting takes and opinions on everything, for that matter, let alone the Big Ten. So Drew will join me around the 1:30 mark during the second portion of Current Sports. Before we get to Drew, we'll talk about how far Michigan State will go in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We'll also even fill out our brackets right here live on the show. Isaac, who's filling in for Alex Sharg for me. Isaac is my engineer for today's show, and we'll be going through region by region and picking the Final Four and eventually, of course, the national champion. Also, Top 5 Tuesday, folks. Each and every Tuesday, we'll deliver a Top 5 sporting topic. And today's Top 5 Tuesday is, of course, centered on the talk of the town, the NCAA March Madness Tournament. And we'll bring to you the top 5 NCAA tourney moments of all time. All of that and so much more, but that's custom here on Current Sports. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this St. Patrick's Day. All right, folks, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. First, Michigan State hockey goaltender. How about this? Hildebrand. He's the goaltender. He's the Big Ten Player of the Year. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Goaltender for MSU hockey, folks. Of course, it was announced Monday after leading the conference in every goaltending category this season. A junior, Hildebrand, has started in all 34 games this season for the Spartans and ranks in the top 10 nationally in save percentage and shutouts among goaltenders. So hats off to, again, MSU hockey goaltender Hildebrand, who was named Big Ten Player of the Year. Michigan offensive lineman Graham Glasgow has been suspended from the football team after he blew a .086 on his breathalyzer test Sunday morning. Now, Glasgow was arrested last April on drunken driving charges, and the positive test on Sunday violates the terms of his probation. Now, Glasgow has started 24 games over the past 2 years on the interior of Michigan's offensive line. All right, how about this news? Five-star basketball recruit Jaylen Brown is reportedly planning to visit to the University of Michigan. Brown was scheduled to visit Ann Arbor for a game earlier this year, but couldn't make it due to a scheduling conflict. He's a 6'7 forward and is rated the best player in the class of 2015 by Scout.com, while ESPN and 247 Sports have him as the number 2 prospect in the class. All right, how about this? 3 Michigan schools will be participating in the 2015 Women's NIT Tournament, folks. Michigan is in the tournament and will host Cleveland State on Wednesday in the first round, while Western Michigan opens their play on the road at Arkansas State, and Eastern Michigan will head to Drake in other Michigan first-round matchups. Now, Michigan State was a fourth team from the state in the mix, but they chose not to participate in the postseason after an injury-plagued season. Of course, you read that Susie Merchant quote during yesterday's show. That news broke around 12:30 yesterday that Michigan State decided not to participate. They would have been eligible, and they probably most likely would have got in, but they said, no, we're not participating. All right, Lansing Everett is headed to the regional finals after topping Ann Arbor Huron last night, 82-77. Trevor Manuel, he led the way for the Vikings with 33 points and 20 rebounds. 33 points and 20 rebounds, folks, for Trevor Manuel, who is, of course, a Mr. Basketball candidate. While Jamarin Jackson, he added 23 points. Now, two other local teams, Lansing Christian and Langsburg, are also headed to the regional finals after victories on Monday. Hazlitt and Eden Rapids were not as fortunate. Hazlitt fell to Charlotte 70-61 despite 16 points from Brandon Allen, and Eden Rapids dropped a close game with Onsted 61-58. So hats off to those who keep on keeping on in the boys' high school postseason play. All right, the Detroit Pistons, they will look to get back on the winning track tonight as they take on the Memphis Grizzlies at home. The Pistons are currently on a 10-game losing streak and will be without forward Greg Monroe tonight, who was injured during Monday's practice. The game will be televised, of course, on Fox Sports Detroit. Tip time is at 7:30 p.m. And the Detroit Tigers are in action for yet another spring training game today as they take on the Washington Nationals. Justin Verlander will take the mound for the Tigers. And the contest, which starts right about now, literally at 1:05, folks. All right, and San Francisco 49ers linebacker Chris Borland is calling it quits, citing concern of the lasting effects of head trauma. Yeah, concussions, folks. Now, Borland, a third-round pick out of Wisconsin last year, made 107 tackles, and as a rookie in his lone season in the NFL, he decided to call it quits. How about that? Man, shocking news there. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call in at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show. All right, folks. Well, again, as just mentioned, you can weigh in on anything that we chat about here on the show or anything on your little sports noggin by just calling in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. I'll read your tweets right here live on the show. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And man, oh, man. I love this time of the year, folks. This is arguably my favorite time of the year other than Christmas and my birthday. Seeing as though hoops will be dominating most of my time for the next 2 weeks. Or 3 weeks, if that. I mean, my goodness, folks. There is nothing like sitting around and having a game on my television, another game on my laptop, another one streaming on my iPad, and another one on my phone. I mean, I absolutely love it. I mean, there's usually about four games at a time during March Madness. And, of course, as the games go on and round one proceeds, round two proceeds, those games become, less frequent. But I love it. There's no other sporting event like it. It's that win or go home mentality. If you lose, you are out of the tournament. I love it. I mean, it's unbelievable. The NCAA tournament is unbelievable. So, as you guys know, to put a local feel on this thing, Michigan State will be taking on the Georgia Bulldogs this Friday at 12:40 p.m. Get your popcorn ready for that one, folks. Most people, right now, Vegas does have Michigan State as a favorite in that one. I believe the last time I checked, Michigan State was like a 5-point favorite when I checked it last night. I'm not sure if that shifted now, but a lot of people slating Michigan State to get out of at least the first round, and they will most likely take on, a rematch of last year, Virginia. Now, you don't want to speak too soon because Michigan State, I mean, they've had a topsy-turvy season, to say the least, so you don't know what team you can expect. I mean, going off the Big Ten tournament, I mean, this team was very consistent throughout the Big Ten tournament, so if they play like they did in the Big Ten tournament, especially throughout most of the Wisconsin game, I think Georgia, it's done, and you can kind of look forward onto the Virginia game. But we'll break down that matchup in just a sec. We'll also break down region by region. Isaac Constance, my guy for today, my engineer for today, Alex Sharg is out today, and Isaac is filling in for Alex. We'll break down the bracket, so have your bracket handy if you have not filled it out yet, because the tourney actually starts later on today. The first four matchups will be taking place, folks, so you definitely want to get your bracket ready. I'm sure many of you out there are doing office pools and so much more, folks. Also, I got to remind you all that Current Sports TV airs this Thursday. I had a great sit-down with a man who was so passionate. He's written this unbelievable biography on actually his uncle. His name is Ted Zell, and he co-authored the book along with Clay Moyle. Now, Clay Moyle is a famed boxing historian, and Ted Zell used to be a pro boxer, and his father is, of course, the great. If you haven't heard who Tony, if you don't know who Tony Zell is, Tony Zell was one of the greatest boxers to ever fight, folks. One of the greatest to ever do it in the ring. He's really known for his epic matchups against Rocky Graziano. They fought in three fights. Tony actually won two of those fights, and those epic battles are actually listed in the top 100 boxing bouts of all time. Do a quick Google. All of the bouts will come up in a detailed description. I believe there's even video of all three of those fights that you can view on YouTube. So it is absolutely unbelievable. So, you know, Ted, you know, during the last years when Tony really knew he was going to, you know, he didn't have much longer to live, you know, he grabbed Ted as his nephew and said, hey, I want you to write this biography on me. And, you know, so Ted decided to, you know, do a series of interviews, countless sit-downs with his uncle. You know, he had the pen and a pad, would write down different details, do some fact-checking here and there. And, you know, he's put together one unbelievable book. He's actually done a few book signings within the Lansing area and all across Michigan, for that matter. And I got a chance to sit down with the man not too long ago, and we're airing that episode this Thursday night at 10 p.m. Also on that episode at 10 p.m., you'll get to see our coverage from out in Chicago. Michigan State, of course, falling to Wisconsin in the Big Ten Tourney Championship game. You'll also get to see, you know, highlights from the MSU and Michigan hockey game, which Michigan State split that series against Michigan, earning a first-round bye in their own Big Ten Tourney, which will be taking place this weekend down at the Joe. And so much more. Also, we'll talk about Leo O'Connor, you know, who just won another national championship. How about that? Unbelievable stuff. So don't miss it. Current Sports TV this Thursday night at 10 p.m. Going to be a jam-packed show. Now, before we dive into just how far exactly do we think Michigan State will go in the NCAA tourney, I want to bring up, of course, Tom Izzo, because Tom Izzo right now is actually, as we speak, holding his weekly press conference down at the Breslin Center. Now, I believe it was slated for yesterday. They decided to push it to today. And right now, Twitter is blowing up. If you follow any of the local beat writers like Graham Couch, Joe Rexroad, even some of the local reporters like Kevin Gill and so on and so forth, they are actually tweeting from the presser right now as Tom Izzo has addressed the podium and is sort of breaking down what to expect from the Georgia matchup this Friday. Now, something that I found very intriguing when looking at some of the transcript and tweets out there, Tom Izzo talked about how UConn was a 7 seed last year. We all know what happened last year, right? Shabazz Napier, that team who actually beat Michigan State, they went on all the way in the tourney, won the national championship. So Izzo, you know, kind of reminding everyone out there that, hey, don't put too much, you know, emphasis on seeding, because we've seen so many upsets in the NCAA tourney. Picking those upsets for your bracket can certainly be a challenge and a crapshoot for that matter. But we've seen low seeds, quote unquote, low seeds go on to make deep runs and even win a national championship. Also, I found this very interesting because Tom Izzo did talk about this when we were covering the team out in Chicago right during the post-game interview after Tom and his team had lost to Wisconsin. He brought up, you know, how his nephew, Matt Buckland, is actually, you know, he's a Georgia operations director for the team. And, you know, Tom Izzo went on to say today, quote, Thanksgiving will never be the same. How about that, huh? That's pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. So I don't know if Tom has reached out to his nephew at all, but I found that very, very funny. But if you look at it, I mean, you know, this is an interesting matchup because this is the first time Michigan State and Georgia have ever met in the hardwood. Very interesting stuff. And, you know, he talked about also the hangover possibly feared when coming off a critical loss, a heartbreaking loss, such as what they faced against Wisconsin. And we saw it earlier this year. I talked on yesterday's show how really the most heartbroken I've ever seen this team is this year, I should say, is when they lost to Minnesota. When Michigan State lost to Minnesota, I mean, it was a devastating loss. Well, I remember walking in that locker room and, you know, I remember Bryn Forbes ran in and he had just finished shooting free throws and Denzel Valentine had his head down. Tum Tum has his head down at the locker. I mean, it was reminiscent. It was worse than that moment when going in the locker room and having to conduct an interview after that Wisconsin game. So, I mean, you know, when you have, and you saw what happened after the Minnesota loss, Michigan State went on to lose. So, you know, how they respond to this is going to be a huge test for them. And Tom Izzo believes that they had the hangover yesterday. He said, quote, I think we had it. I think it was yesterday and it's over. So, you know, I guess they've cried all the tears and got it out the system, and now they're looking forward now to the NCAA tournament. You got to have a short memory during this time of the year because the games come quick. They are they're rapid. Simple as that. So, and I'm looking here also on Twitter. Tom Izzo weighing in on, you know, the season and the Big Ten, you know, title game. Quote, "That banner in my mind would have just been as significant as any banner hanging out there." So, he put a lot of harp on, you know, possibly if they had won and beat Wisconsin, it would have been a big win for them. Also, Izzo, he weighed in on Ford. Yante Matin, I should say. Is spelled kind of like Mateen Cleaves' name, right? I'm so used to saying Mateen's name. But Yante Matin is a big, big guy. One of the key players for Georgia, who MSU got in on late last spring and offered. Matin is, quote, "better than I expected this year. Will be very good." That's what Izzo said of Madden. So, a lot weighing in again. You know, there's different things, you know, out there. I mean, there's like a running transcript of the beat writers kind of just typing word for word what Izzo is saying right now. But it's going to be interesting, folks. Again, Michigan State playing Georgia. They got to bring it. I now want to bring in, of course, Isaac, the man behind the glass today. Isaac is on the show. How you doing, Isaac?
Doing well, Al. Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day to all our listeners out there.
Yes, you got any plans? Green? You're wearing green, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you
know
got the Spartan
hat
on. I am not, man, so don't pinch me, all right? Please. After the show, I'm going to run up to my office. Got a lot of green in my office. I totally forgot until, like, the drive into work today, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I don't have any green on. So, but it's a big day for MSU students out there. A lot of celebration going on as we speak, so happy St. Patrick's Day, man, definitely. So I got to ask you, Isaac, I mean, right now, you've done a bracket. Just as many and thousands and millions of people out there. How far do you got Michigan State going?
Well, Al, I've got them going to the Elite Eight. I really think the Virginia matchup could swing either way. I'm a little bit biased, so I'm going to swing it Michigan State's way.
Okay, so you got Michigan State going pretty far then.
I do, yeah. I think the entire East bracket is just one of the more poorly put together ones, with Oklahoma as a 3 seed, even though they have 10 losses. I think Villanova is a weak 1 seed.
Right.
I just don't think they've been tested that much this season. So I've got LSU upsetting Villanova and MSU upsetting Virginia. I think it'll be a busy second round.
All right. Well, there you go. That's very, very optimistic, my brother. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I think right now there's a few key components here. Now, well, actually, I'm actually seeing here that there is breaking news. There is breaking news concerning Delton Williams. Am I right? Delton Williams has been suspended indefinitely from the MSU football team for a road rage incident that I believe took place yesterday. That is breaking news, folks. MSU football player Delton Williams suspended indefinitely from the MSU football team for a road rage incident. I'm looking right here. My Twitter's blowing up about it. I'm seeing here from different local reporters here tweeting on it. Right now I'm seeing here from the Ingham County Jail. No word on the charges yet, but it's being reported that he is suspended. MSU running back Delton Williams suspended right now from the MSU football team. So, again, we don't know what the charges are right now. We'll get word on that. Wow, that just came through, though, folks. That just came through. All right, well, again, Alex, we'll fill you on the details as we get more and more about that story as it goes on. But to move on now, going back to the Michigan State men's basketball team, again, right now we're talking about how far Michigan State goes in the tourney. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, we're taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. First off, that is pretty shocking to hear about, you know, Delton Williams, too. I mean, it's funny. I don't know if you got this alert because, you know, with us working here at Michigan State University, we always get these different alerts, you know, if there's a crazy incident or crisis going on within the area right near campus, you'll get an alert on your phone, you'll get a phone call. And I got a text yesterday saying that there was a road rage incident where a man had flashed a gun and so on and so forth yesterday. And I'm wondering, oh, my goodness. You know, what in the world is going on? They said they had taken the man into custody and so on and so forth. So I don't know if that's related at all. Right now, we're trying to dig into this story and see exactly what exactly happened and why Delton Williams has been suspended indefinitely. But again, we'll keep you posted throughout this hour. Going back now to Michigan State and attorney. Now, there are a few aspects of this whole conversation, folks, because I think Georgia is a solid team, but MSU can certainly beat them. Now, looking at Georgia, folks, Georgia and MSU, both of them, you know, this is kind of ironic, both of them have lost to Minnesota. Both of them have chalked up L's against Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. But Georgia, if you remember, I talked about this yesterday as well, Georgia pushed Kentucky to the brink of a loss, if you remember. I mean, with about 3 minutes left, Georgia actually had like a 2 to 3 point lead in that game. So Georgia, you can't sleep on them, folks. They do have losses to South Carolina twice, not once but twice, and to Auburn, two teams that definitely they should have beat. Also, I think when you look at the intangibles here, I've always said this team will go as far as Brandon Dawson takes them. He has to be there for this squad. And Denzel Valentine has to, you know, I think Denzel Valentine, I mean, he got a lot of flack for of course, that late game, that final play where he just kind of heaved it over the head of Brandon Dawson. It's a turnover. You know, of course, Wisconsin ends up tying that game and goes to overtime. We saw what happened that. Denzel Valentine was absolutely distraught after that game. But we've seen Denzel Valentine have just mental blunders where he's just not there. Not there at all. And Denzel Valentine has to cut out, you know, when it comes to those late-game situations, because he's a guy, Denzel's a guy that can do everything. He can facilitate. He can score now. He's developed a great outside jump shot. Denzel Valentine is a multifaceted type of a player who can beat you in multiple ways. But again, we've seen him in those tight games make mistakes, little mistakes that become amplified. And during this time of the year, we've seen him make those mistakes that have led to a team's demise. He's got to play smart, but the potential is very, very high for Denzel Valentine. And the big three in general. I mean, you talk about Travis Trice also added to that mix. Valentine, Dawson, and Trice. And Trice, who has been, I think he's had a great year, a fantastic year, really being the strong arm for this team most of the year, especially at that point guard position. I think it was a genius move for Tom Izzo to move Tum Tum to that starting point guard role to let, you know, Travis Trice play more of the two guard. He's kind of settled into that position and has really found a niche in that position. And sometimes we've even seen Tum Tum starting and Travis Trice come off the bench. So it's been a very interesting dynamic. So if the big three play well and they show up this Friday, I think Michigan State definitely beats Georgia. Again, folks, call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're going to go to our callers right now. We've got my man Ray on line one. How you doing, Ray?
How you doing, my friend?
Fantastic, fantastic.
You know, you're touching on about what I was going to say. You know, I think those two or three turnovers down in the last minute to cost them the game, it's just trying to do too much. You were trying to throw a ball over other people's heads for a dunk. They didn't need to. You just got to use their head a little bit in the last minute, and they win that game in regulation. I mean, there's two other times. I mean, the ball, if they call that touchdown on the line. I don't understand. I hope the referees in this tournament, because these kids are so fast running up and down, that they're going to look at some of these plays. I mean, they do it in football on the line, so why can't they do it in basketball?
Yeah, you know, and I actually, they replayed the game nonstop on the Big Ten channel last night, the Big Ten Network last night. And I got a chance to watch that last minute of play through the eyes that most of you saw it, instead of being courtside and not having a great angle of that play. And they didn't even review it. It was like that play happened, you know. And Grant Hill, when they go to the replay, Grant Hill and Bill Rafferty, they comment and say, "Oh my goodness, that was out of bounds." Yeah. And then after it happens, you know, he saves the ball and Denzel Valentine turns it over and, you know, and fouls Bonick and he goes to the line. It kind of just becomes an afterthought. They didn't go to the replay at all. And once the free throw is shot, that's a wrap. They can't go back and review it after that.
Well,
and,
you know, Northwestern, that Michigan game, there was a guy that tossed in. I was glad Northwestern won, but they had three-pointers, you know, they didn't foul on, and the one guy was on the line, and they didn't check that one either. I hope in this tournament they check some of that stuff because it's going to cause somebody being eliminated.
Right, and you know, at this time of the year, I said it, Ray, I mean, it comes down to the little things. Michigan State has to watch those timely turnovers. And also, when it comes down to free throws, they got to make their free throws as well. Those things cannot be problems. So, but hey, thanks a lot, Ray. Appreciate it, my man. All right, well, we got Mike from Saginaw on line two. How you doing, Mike? You are on Current Sports.
How you doing there, L. Martin?
I'm doing well, my friend.
Before I talk about MSU and the tournament, I got two more other questions to ask you. You see, Maryland's got the number one women's seed, huh?
Yeah, I saw. They have a very impressive team. And you saw what the Spartans did earlier this year, though, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Exactly. So, but Maryland has a fantastic team. I think that's a team that definitely can win a national championship.
Okay, because if they win this, they're going to win, beat the 16 seed. You know, the number 8 seed is Princeton, the undefeated Princeton team. And if they win their game, they're going to play the team that's undefeated all year long.
Right.
That'll be a great matchup for the women's game. I really do. I wanted to see those two match up just to see how good Princeton was because they haven't lost the game all year.
Right, exactly. It's going to be a fun, you know, women's tournament as well because they had their selection show yesterday. Yeah, definitely. Certainly. I agree, Mike.
I'd like to ask you for a mid-major school like Murray State who didn't lose a conference game and got into that tournament and lost the last game. Do you think the NCAA should make a rule that if you were undefeated during your conference season that you get in the tournament regardless? Because you got two teams like Hampton and what's the other, Texas Southern, that's in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But they got below 500. Could the conference, what you think about the NCAA doing something?
No, I agree. I mean, I think if you have an outstanding showing in your conference play, I mean, if you are, you know, which ideally, if you go undefeated in your conference year, you should be a conference champion. Yeah, I think you definitely should, have that automatic bid in the NCAA tournament. I definitely agree.
Because I was thinking in the MEAC, for instance, North Carolina Central, I think they went undefeated in their conference, but they lost in their conference tournament and they not into the tournament. They more in the National Invitation Tournament.
So they won their conference regular season championship, but lost in the conference tourney championship game?
They didn't even make it to the final game. North Carolina Central did.
Okay, so they lost early in their conference tourney then. They didn't make the tournament.
Yeah,
that's kind of, yeah. You know, it's interesting because I saw on ESPN yesterday that they are actually going to possibly consider revamping how they handle the whole first four, you know, games because there was a lot of, you know, stipulation with that, too, and debate about that, too. So it's interesting, though.
Okay, here's one more question before I ask you about MSU. What you think about Chicago Stadium compared to the Palace?
Man, so you mean United Center?
The
United Center, I tell you, is what. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine yesterday about this because I've been to the Palace many times. I'm a big Piston fan, and the Palace, don't get me, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous venue. And maybe I've been there so often, I've kind of gotten just kind of numb to the whole experience being at the Palace now. But going to the United Center is so cool because first off, I'm a big Michael Jordan fan. So when you walk in there and you look up and you see Jordan's jersey and you see just the championships lined up, the six championships, you see that, you know, the double LCD rings in the stadium. I love the United Center. I love the atmosphere. I love how close-knit it seems. I mean, the seating in it. I love it. I absolutely love it. But don't sleep on the Palace, though. But if I had to choose, man, that's a tough one, Mike. Well, I'm going with the Palace just because I'm a Pistons fan. I'm going with the Palace. But it's a gorgeous venue, though. It's a gorgeous venue.
Well, I was going to tell you about MSU. Here's my MSU question. Now, Brandon Dawson cried after the game. Now, I wonder if when he gets to the next level, because you got three, you got Draymond Green, you got Adrian Payne, and you got Allen Anderson, you got a lot, some MSU in the pros. They're going to really... I really think that Brandon Dawson in the last 2 weeks is finding out what his weaknesses are and what he has to do to get to the next level. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, well, yeah. As far as the NBA is concerned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably the next level. Yeah, I call it the next level because I go to Europe too. So.
Right. Yeah, I tell you what, as far, if I really don't – I question Brandon Dawson and how successful he can be in the NBA because, one, Mike – he's an undersized forward. Mm-hmm. He's not really a guard. His ball handling ability is not that great.
Sure.
He's not really a guard, but, you know, he can take you down low and he can bang you a little bit, and he's very, very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
see.
And he's a great defender. But sure, the thing about Brandon is, when you talk about the next level in the NBA, You have to be great at an area. Brandon Dawson is not great at one thing. Other than, I think he's a great rebounder. But when you go to the NBA, I mean, you're going to be going against athletic talent on a nightly basis. He's so undersized. The biggest thing for me is Brandon Dawson's size. Because for him to be a forward in the league, 80 to 90% of the time, whoever he faces is going to be bigger than him. So he's got, but I tell you what, Brandon is strong. He's very athletic. But I just don't know if he can compete at that level because of his size, Mike.
You think, here what I was talking, I talked to high school coaches on and off up in Saginaw, and you know what they always say, that a lot of the coaches are now, they hiring their friends and stuff, and they're now teaching the game, and these guys get so athletic, when they get to college, they learn a lot of bad habits, and then they have to work, just get them drills and practice drills and stuff. What I see from Brandon Dawson, I look at Adrian Payne and Draymond Green. They not super athletes, but they've been taught for being around Tom Izzo and getting that college coaching and being able to they've been drilled in everything that they learn how to get in the NBA and know how to compete and how to thrive in the NBA. Right. You know, Adrian Payne's been doing really good for the Timberwolves lately. He's been getting double rebounds and scoring double.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
And I just think that if Brandon Dawson, like I say, he can learn from them when they come up here, probably during the summer months and everything.
Yeah, definitely. And and somebody to compare him to, he kind of, if you had to compare Brandon Dawson to somebody, I think it would be Dennis Rodman, because Dennis Rodman, for me, was a guy who was undersized, but he just worked his tail off. So we'll see. Only time will tell, Mike. Appreciate the call,
man. Thank you, Al. You have a good one. Thanks.
You too. Thanks a lot, brother. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, Drew Sharp has just left the Tom Izzo press conference. We will have him on the phone to weigh in on the NCAA tourney and to weigh in on what Tom Izzo had to say down at the Breslin Center. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. How about that? Happy St. Patrick's Day, ladies and gents. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin. Hope you're having a great one out there. I know one individual who's not, though. If you haven't heard, breaking news, it has been confirmed that Michigan State running back Delton Williams is at Ingham County Jail as we speak in Mason. Now, he was brought into custody at 11:50 p.m. yesterday, and no charges have been filed as of yet. Now, I was interested because I'm looking here on isportsweb.com, and, this is written by David Harris. Again, Delton Williams has been suspended indefinitely from all team-related activities. That's coming from head coach Mark D'Antonio. Now, the Michigan State University Police issued this alert on Monday shortly after 8 p.m., and I'm reading, again, this is right from the article. MSUPD report a person displaying a gun from vehicle at Shaw and Farm in a road rage incident. Now, the suspect left southbound on Farm in a blue or black Impala. This is what the original report said, blue or black Impala. Suspect is described as a black male. No other description was provided by the victim. Blah, blah, please call blah, blah, blah. Then the MSU Police Department issued another update less than 2 hours later, around 9:47 p.m., saying, quote, MSUPD has identified and taken into custody the suspect displaying a firearm during that road rage incident at Sean Farm. The firearm was recovered. Now, again, a reliable source, I'm seeing it everywhere, it is being said that that suspect is Michigan State University student-athlete Delton Williams. Again, Williams, he's from Erie, Pennsylvania. He just finished his sophomore season as running back on the MSU football team. So again, folks, running back, MSU running back, Delton Williams is confirmed. He is at Ingham County Jail in Mason right now. He was brought into custody at 11 p.m. Wow, man, unbelievable stuff. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Well, I love reading his stuff. He's an unbelievably talented writer. He's just wrapping up things at the Tom Izzo press conference at the Breslin Center that, of course, was held today. Drew Sharp, sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Drew, how you doing?
How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing fantastic, my man. Now, first off, I want to know what the buzz was like when you guys first heard this news. Did you hear the news about Dylan Williams at the presser?
Yes. Some of the writers were talking about this, what the episode was. And, you know, you start to wonder that, okay, you know, this is not the type of reports that obviously Michigan State football wants to be hearing right now. You know, you're about ready to get started with spring practice. And, you know, these things are going to happen with athletes. But now the situation is one that, okay, once Mark Antonio gets more information about this to see what actually happened, then the onus is going to be on what does the head coach do then.
Right.
Because more people are interested in what the head coach does than what the police and the prosecutor are going to do. And, everyone's still innocent until proven guilty. But as I have written and said many times over the last 10 or 15 years, there are two separate issues here. The player has every right to a fair trial. When it comes to his freedom, he has a constitutional right to a fair trial. It is not a constitutional right to be a player at Michigan State University or the University of Michigan. That is a privilege that can be revoked before he steps a foot in court if the coaching staff has enough information that it's comfortable with that certain things happen. So,
Right. So you're basically saying right now, I mean, the spotlight is on Coach Mark D'Antonio, and how he handles this is going to be key on how he's perceived in the future.
All right, I didn't hear all the questions now.
Well, I'm talking about how the spotlight being on Coach D and how he handles this incident, as you just said, Drew. I mean, how he does handle this incident is going to be telling about how Michigan State as a whole handles discipline with his student athletes.
Well, absolutely, because you remember a few years back when Michigan State, I believe, was unbeaten going to the Iowa game, and the defensive back was a Chris Rucker, I believe.
Right, exactly. Yep.
You know, he got out of jail for a repeated offense. And, you know, he was suspended, I guess, for the first half of that Iowa game. But he played. That was critical of the move. He did that. I mean, if you want to be the type of program that puts integrity, and Mark D'Antonio runs a high-integrity program, no question about that.
Right.
But if you're going to say integrity matters more than results, then people are going to be watching to see what you do in situations such as these. It puts a lot of pressure on the head coach, but you know what? They make the big cash, and, you know, you want the, you know, your program has gotten this high exposure for playing so well on the field the last 3 or 4 years that this is the opposite side of that. You're going to get even more attention now as to how your program responds to when charges like this surface.
That is very, very true. Again, folks, we're talking with Drew Sharp right now from the Detroit Free Press on the news. Dylan Williams, MSU football player, has been suspended indefinitely from all team-related activities. And, of course, we'll have more as this show moves on. All right, Drew, well, let's shift gears now. Let's talk NCAA tourney. Now, of course, you were just at the Tom Izzo press conference down at the Breslin Center. And of course, Tom Izzo weighed in and gave a preview on their matchup this Friday around 12:40 p.m. against Georgia. I first got to ask you, Drew, what does the bracket of Drew Sharp look like? How far do you got MSU going?
I have Michigan State losing in the first round of Georgia.
Do you? All right. You got to explain that one, Drew.
Because I think that the officiating they're going to get is going to call it tight. Georgia's a very athletic team. I think they will aggressively, if the officials let them do it, they will aggressively attack the Michigan State defense, and you're going to see Michigan State get a lot of foul trouble. And because they don't have a deep bench, it's going to screw up what's already a delicate rotation that Tom Izzo's had to work with all season. If they get in early foul trouble, then it's just going to be a mess. Georgia is a very athletic team. Now, having said that, this is not to say that Michigan State's a terrible team in all this. I think Michigan State can beat Virginia if they do get past Georgia. It's just one of those weird things.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that if they can get past that first game, I think that's going to be a tougher test than people think. If they can get past that first game, this is a team that could go as far as the Elite Eight. I just don't think that the officiating is going to allow Michigan State to be as physical as it wants to. And if that's the case, then it's going to be a long afternoon for them.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this Georgia team, Drew, I mean, it's so interesting because both Georgia and MSU have losses to Minnesota. But I tell you what, I mean, I watched that entire game when Georgia really pushed Kentucky to the brink of a loss. I mean, it was unbelievable watching that.
Yeah, that was an emotional game. It was in Athens, I believe. And, you know, it's one of those situations where the stakes were so high. I mean, that might have been the only time Georgia's been on national TV all year.
Right.
Because they got Kentucky, you know, because everyone was looking for the upset. So, yeah, you can see how emotionally charged they would be. I'm not using that as a gauge as what to expect from Georgia. I just think that they are a very athletic team. They're a good defensive team, too. I just think that if you will see in the first 5 minutes of that game Friday what kind of game the officials are going to call. If they let Michigan State be physical, then Michigan State has a very good chance. I just don't see that happen. I just think they're going to call it tight. And, you know, Tom Izzo was talking about that this afternoon. He said, you know, I can't worry about that. I can't worry. Because he used to worry about that, but he just can't.
Right.
He doesn't want to know who the officials are going to be until the game starts, and he just have to adapt. If they call the game tighter than what they think they should be, just have to adapt. But if they call a tight game, it should save some trouble.
Now, Drew, of course, you were in Chicago like I over the weekend to cover that Big Ten tournament. And, you know, right when we were interviewing, you know, Tom Izzo in the hallway, he got word that he was a 7 seed. And, you know, he kind of it looks as though he wanted to say something, but he kind of bit his tongue. Do you think that Michigan State is a 7 seed?
I thought they should have been a 6 seed, but it's a situation where the Big Ten hurt itself in the non-conference, where you had just a litany of bad non-conference losses. Michigan losing to Inchit and losing to Eastern Michigan. Michigan State losing to Texas Southern, a team that's in the tournament.
Right.
They won their division. They won their conference, but was still considered a very bad non-conference loss. Purdue lost to Gardner-Webb, I believe. You know, and that, I think, had a lingering effect on the selection committee because I think it diminished the quality of the conference schedule in some respects in their minds that, okay, if these teams are losing to Eastern Michigan and Gardner-Webb, then how quality of a win is it to beat these guys in the Big Ten conference season? Now, whether that's fair or not, who knows? But I think that had a lot to do with the underseeding, if you will, of a lot of the Big Ten teams.
No, Drew, I think you and I are right on the same page because initially when I heard 7 seed, I'm sitting there saying, oh, hold on. I mean, did they see what just happened in the Big Ten tourney here? But, you know, when you look at it and you look how this year has gone for the Big Ten Conference as a whole, I get it. I definitely do. Now, you and I also have, you know, kind of the same opinion when it comes to this team overall, when it comes to their success overall. I always said that this team will go as far as Brandon Dawson takes them. I think he is the engine for this team, and you wrote yesterday that you kind of believe the same thing. I mean, Brandon Dawson is the catalyst for this squad. Why is he so important, Drew?
Because he's all energy. If Brandon Dawson plays hard, I'm not saying he's a lazy player. I don't misconstrue that. But that his game is entirely tied to his level of energy. And if he can play at a high energy level the entire game, he creates some serious matchup issues for teams trying to face him. Because, I mean, that Wisconsin game, you know, he came up with some manly. I mean, there were some defensive rebounds that he was soaring, you know, 3 feet over the rim. He said, that's a man's rebound.
Right.
That's a guy who's taking it seriously. And when he's playing at that level, he's hard to contain, even though he's only 6'6", 6'7". But it's one of those things where even the coaching staff is still at a loss to explain why they've had a hard time convincing him that he has to play at this level. And this is why I think Izzo and the coaching staff just says, you know what, all we can do is impress upon him that you're down to your last chance now, so that you have to make sure that you expend every ounce of energy that you have, so that even if you lose, you can walk off the court and say, I did my best. That's all I can do. But I think that they fear that Dawson's going to realize that it's over and there's so much more he could have done. And that's the one thing you never want. You never want regrets as a player in a situation like this. Wins and losses, you can tolerate. You can recover from a loss. But if you come away from that saying, you know, I could have done a lot more. I didn't do enough as I should have. Now I don't have another chance. That's a regret that's going to stay with you for a while.
Yeah, that is certainly true, Drew. And, you know, I think it's fitting for me to ask you this now, seeing as though one of our callers just threw this question at me when it comes to Brandon Dawson. Do you think Brandon Dawson is an NBA guy?
I think he's an NBA guy. As I wrote my column, he could be a Dennis Rodman type of defensive specialist. In that he'll be a second round pick, but that if he sheds a little weight, you know, gets a little leaner, but he could be the type of guy who could really prosper on a good team because he will have a niche. We won't have plays called for him, but he's a guy who in any, you know, that, you know, when you're worried about getting caught on defensive switches, and this is why some guys don't play as much as others.
Right.
He could defend an NBA point guard. I mean, a good size NBA, 6'3", 6'4". He could defend an NBA point guard. He could also defend the shooting guard in the three. I don't think he can defend the four, but
right.
You put him in that type of environment with that type of team where he just has a very specialized role. He could have a very good NBA career and be a very effective NBA player. But again, it begs the question, how badly does Brandon Dawson want that?
Right. It's all mental with Brandon Dawson. I always say it again, folks. We're talking with Drew Sharp, sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. All right, Drew, let's shift gears really briefly before we let you go here. Were you surprised that the University of Michigan men's basketball team didn't make the NIT tournament?
I was a little surprised because I thought, you know, North Carolina, I believe, was the first 500 team to make the NIT. I'm not sure whether that's 2 or 3 years ago because I thought, you know, North Carolina is a name.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that because, you know, we still think of U of M, even basketball and football, as a name, that they would still get the opportunity. So I was kind of surprised that the NIT said, no, we'll go elsewhere. So I'm sure that John Beilein is disappointed. John Beilein, I thought, did a tremendous job.
He did.
I know a lot of Michigan State fans are saying, oh, come on now. I mean, they finished 500. I asked Michigan State fans this. If Tom Izzo had lost Brandon Dawson and Denzel Valentine for basically the last 6 weeks of the season,
mm-hmm.
as Beilein did with Caris LeVert and Derek Walt, would Michigan State have finished 500? I don't think they would have.
Right.
They can't shoot.
Right.
They're limited offensively, so they needed everything possible. That John Beilein was able to squeeze a 16-16 season. That's some pretty good moments there. That Illinois game in Chicago, they played fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunch of true freshmen, you know, and a sophomore in Zach Irvin who's still trying to figure himself out. And they were able to pull that off. Now, either that's a tremendous coaching job or it's an indictment against the Big Ten overall. I thought it was a hell of a coaching job.
I totally agree with you 110%, Drew. I think, you know, the cards that Beilein was dealt, I mean, he played them perfectly. Now, you know, looking at the pieces next year for this team, you know, a healthy Derek Walton Jr., a healthy Caris LeVert. I mean, looking at this, I mean, you would think that Michigan is a Big Ten favorite next year. I mean, right? Am I right?
I think LeVert's gone.
You think he's gone? Okay.
I think he's gone. I think he's going to the NBA draft. I thought it was very telling. I'm walking to the Michigan locker room after the loss to Wisconsin. And Caris LeVert is, you know, he's just taking his time, getting his clothes on and everything. And Derek Walton Jr. is the guy who's talking to players. He's the guy, you know, he's getting everyone's trying to encourage them and getting ready. And that just told me, this is a guy in Walton who's ready for the summer. When he's healed, when his foot's healed, he's ready to get to work with these guys because he knows he's coming back. Whereas LeVert is probably just pretty much resigned himself. I won't say resigned himself.
He's kind of checked out already, huh?
Yeah, I think he's checked out. And I don't blame him. Even though he's hurt, he's still going to be a first-round draft pick, it looks. So, you know, it's a smart move.
Right.
That, you know, again, he'll go late in the first round. He can go to a good team that will allow him the time to heal physically. And then when he's ready to play, like with McGarry, this past year with Oklahoma City.
Right, you know, right, exactly.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to have a good team draft you in the 20s, and they're going to take their time with you.
There you go. All right, Drew Sharp, sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. One Twitter question for you that just came in, Drew. Tim from East Lansing wants to ask you, who should be blamed for the Lions not re-signing Ndamukong Suh?
The front office needs to be blamed for it. Because don't fault Sue for this. Sue made it clear to the Detroit Lions over a year ago that he wanted to be the highest paid defensive player. Not the highest paid defensive tackle, the highest paid defensive player. The Lions knew this. They knew this when J.J. Watt signed his contract extension in September of 2014, that the floor for negotiating with Ndamukong Suh would start at $17 million annually.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions didn't do that. They wanted to pay him like a defensive tackle, not an impact defensive player. So they knew this. Like I wrote a year ago, then they should have traded him. When they knew this was potentially going to be a problem, they should have cut their losses and moved on. They didn't. So now for everyone just to blame Ndamukong Suh for this is ridiculous. The Lions, The Lions have only themselves to fault.
That's true. I agree, Drew. My man, Drew Sharp, sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Hey, Drew, thanks a lot for taking some time to join us today.
No problem. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, Drew. Take care, man. Gotta love that. Man, Drew Sharp, me and I, we were going to say, did you hear that, Isaac? I mean, right when Mike called in, I said that Brandon Dawson, he reminds me of Dennis Rodman. Didn't even read Drew's column. And then look at that. Something in the water today, huh? I don't know. I don't know what it is, man. All right, folks. Well, let's hit our second break. When we come back, it is Tuesday. You know what we do each and every Tuesday, right? Each and every Tuesday, we bring a top five sporting topic to you. And today's top five Tuesday is centered around, of course, the NCAA tourney. We'll bring you the top NCAA tourney moments of all time. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports on St. Patrick's Day right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up an intriguing chat with Drew Sharp, sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Great discussion as Drew chimed in, of course, at the very beginning of that interview on Delton Williams. If you haven't heard, folks, and if you're just tuning in here with under 10 minutes left to go here on Current Sports, MSU running back Delton Williams is right now at Ingham County Jail in Mason, Michigan. He was brought into custody last night at 11:50 p.m. No charges as of yet, but again, iSports Web is reporting that this incident is related to the individual who reportedly displayed a gun from a vehicle at Shaw and Farm in a road rage incident. Now, those students out there that listen to the show and those, employees around the area here at Michigan State University, you should have received a text or a call about this incident. I know I did. I actually looked up my phone and I said, oh, okay, I was out of the area. I was actually at my apartment at the time when I got that notification. I'm sitting there, all right, I'm out the area. I'm safe at least. But so iSports Web is reporting that incident is related to Delton Williams in some sort of way. So we'll see. I know this story, as the day goes on, this story is going to get a lot of headway, and we're going to learn more about it. But again, Mark D'Antonio has suspended Delton Williams indefinitely. Again, folks, 7 minutes left in the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, it is time for Top 5 Tuesday, where we list the top five sporting topic for the week. And because March Madness, of course, begins today, we are going to list the top five NCAA tourney moments of all time. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ah, yes, you know that music. You know that that music, folks. It is time for Top 5 Tuesday. Again, today's Top 5 Tuesday is centered on the madness that is March. What exactly are the top five moments in NCAA tournament history? Well, I'm going to start. Again, this is my own personal list. Isaac, you can chime in at any time during this whole thing if you have a favorite moment. I'm going to go with number 5 and bring a local feel to it. Of course, the greatest basketball player to ever don a Spartan basketball jersey is Irvin Magic Johnson. Now, we all know about the rivalry that he had with another legend, Larry Legend, that is, Larry Bird. And again, this is the first time that we saw this rivalry really become birthed. They got to square off in the 1979 National Championship game. Now, Bird, who at the time had been named as the National Player of the Year, had led Indiana State to a 33-0 record, flawless record, with only Michigan State standing in its way to a national title. But in what became the most watched college basketball game ever at the time, Irvin Magic Johnson used an MVP performance to lead the Spartans past the Sycamores and what would be the start of a long, spirited rivalry between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. That had to be, I mean, one of the most fantastic moments in all of sports, let alone the NCAA tourney. Again, Magic versus Bird, round one in the 1979 national title game in which Michigan State pulled off the win. How about that? All right. Well, let's go number four on you. Texas Western upsetting Kentucky in the 1966 national title game. Now, I'll tell you what makes this game so special is the implications off the court that it had when it came to race relations right here in America. Now, again, if baseball has Jackie Robinson, college basketball has Texas Western, folks. Though the Miners finished the 1965-66 regular season at 23-1, and with the nation's number three ranking, they were considered significant underdogs against top-ranked Kentucky in the national championship game. But that didn't matter to Texas Western coach Don Haskins, who made history by starting five African-American players for the first time in a title game against Adolph Rupp's all-white team. Now, it was a coaching move that proved to be a more than just culturally significant, as Haskins' team went on to upset the Wildcats and win the tourney in shocking fashion. Again, Texas Western upsetting Kentucky in the 1966 national title game. It's number four for me. Number three, I mean, how can you have a list with the NCAA top tourney moments without saying this man's name? Christian Laettner. I believe ESPN 30 for 30 actually have done a 30 for 30 on Christian Laettner entitled "I Hate Christian Laettner." That's how significant this moment is. Again, it's its buzzer beater, folks. You know, again, if college basketball had a shot heard around the world, then Christian Laettner's would be it. After upsetting UNLV to win the national title in 1991, Duke was primed for another championship run the following season, but Kentucky gave the Blue Devils all they can handle in their East Regional Final, leading by one with 2 seconds left in overtime. Inbounding the ball behind his own basket, Grant Hill hit Christian Laettner with a baseball pass down the court, and the rest is history. You got to check that one out. If you haven't seen that, just do a YouTube, folks. Unbelievable moment. Number two, I'm going to go with Villanova upsetting Georgetown in the 1985 national title game. Again, while George Mason had captured the heart of America in 2006, there isn't a more surprising run through the NCAA tournament than the one by the 1985 Villanova Wildcats. With the tournament expanding to 64 teams, Riley Massimino, again, he led his team into the big dance as a number 8 seed. How about that? Going all the way to the title game and upsetting Patrick Ewing and company. And number two, NC State shocking Houston in the 1983 national title game. It was a moment so shocking that, you know, Jim Valvano didn't know what to do. I mean, he was stunned at what had unfolded. You know, that famous scene of him just running around with his head cut off. I mean, it was an unbelievable moment. NC State shocking Houston in 1983's national title game. Of course, Jim Valvano, he had that unbelievable speech at the ESPYs not too long ago that's heard around the world. Talk about hearing that around the world. Unbelievable. One of the most unbelievable speeches you ever hear from somebody. He sadly passed away, of course, with a long bout with cancer. So how about that, numero uno? If you disagree with my list, hey, shoot me a comment on facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Before the tourney starts, my final four, Kentucky, Kansas. Well, hold on. Let me look at that again. Kentucky, excuse me, Wisconsin, Villanova, and Gonzaga. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.